Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. And what we mean by cross the border is to cross the border into the kingdom of God and obtain eternal life. There's absolutely nothing more important than this. The prize, the greatest thing that this life has to offer, is not the riches of this world. It's not things, it's not fame, it's not fortune, and all of the things that you can't take with you when you die. Your mortal existence is a gift from God, something that is not even owed to you. That's right, it's not even owed to you. You go back to the beginning, when the first man and woman, yes, our great-great-grandparents, the mother and father of us all, Adam and Eve, They broke God's law. They committed theft. They did that which was unlawful by taking that which did not belong to them. That was the first experiment with disobedience. And it was a fatal experiment because the Heavenly Father, the Creator, told them, said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And they did surely die. We're all born with that same death sentence because he said, and I believe this clarifies what it means by "you shall surely die." A lot of people say, well, the scripture's wrong because they didn't surely die in that day. Well, I think the Heavenly Father clarifies it when he said, "From dust you came and to dust you shall return." Does that clarify the "you shall surely die" sentence? And how about this? You're all born with it. I was born with it. Every single one of us that is living now, we shall surely die. Do you get it? Do you understand it? The greatest evidence that God's word is true is in that statement, "You shall surely die." And God did not owe us this life. It is only by grace that he did not kill them immediately, as many people demand. The word is wrong. The Bible's wrong because they didn't die. What happened? Well, what happened is they did receive that death sentence. And the sentence was, "You shall surely die." And they received it in the day that they sinned. I hope that clarifies it for you. It's so obvious because, you know, the reality of our situation, the reality of their situation, can only lead us, you know, the evidence of nature in our very own lives and the lives of our parents tells us what the truth of the situation is. But many people just like to find fault and be able to bring accusations against the Creator. But you shall surely die, and you have a grace period. God is so good. He didn't owe us life. He could have terminated it then, and none of us would have been born. But he had another plan. He had the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had a plan. And he gave us grace. He gave Adam and Eve grace, time to choose his plan for redemption, which I believe they did choose. That's the evidence I see anyway. The seed line of the Messiah was carried forward by faithful men looking forward to the Messiah and God's plan for redemption. Grace. He gives us grace. Why are you living now? All of you atheists and skeptics and there was no such person as Adam and Eve. You're living in a fantasy world. No, I'm not. Because one thing I do know is I shall surely die. Explain that one to me. Why don't we just live forever? Why the corruption of the flesh that testifies that the Word of God is true? Why? If evolution is true, why aren't we evolving and getting better forever instead of being born and corrupting and dying after we mature? Tell me. You have no explanation for it. I have an explanation, and it's the Word of God, and it's the truth. He gives you grace. He gave all of us grace, time to choose his plan for redemption. And then he added grace to that. When his plan for redemption was fulfilled by the Messiah, yes, Yahushua, also called Jesus in the West, Señor in down south of where I'm at. He's called by different names and different dialects, but he knows who are his and who's really calling upon him. Because our God is big. He's huge, you know. He's not tripped up by language and things like that men are tripped up by. But you have grace. Choose life. There is nothing more important that you obtain that eternal life available only through His plan for redemption. By the shedding of His blood, He covered our sins, so that when we come to that point where we shall surely die, by faith, His blood covers our sins, and we will be released from death just as He was released from death. Yes, His body did die. He gave it up willingly to show us the way and to pay the price for us, so that His blood would be applied to our account. And then once you accept that and you start walking in His kingdom, you repent of your sins and you allow His Holy Spirit to work in your life, reproving the evil that's there, bringing you to repentance, writing His law upon your mind and your heart, having your mind renewed by faith, trusting in Him. Then you get that extra grace that came through Jesus Christ, the grace that allows us in to His kingdom, allows us to boldly go before the throne of God, allows us to receive a portion of His Holy Spirit that gives us that assurance and bears witness with our spirit that the things that He has promised us are sure, they are true, and we can absolutely, undeniably count on them even more than our own life. And who can dissuade us? If God has shown us what He has prepared for us, who can take that away from us? No one. Hold fast in the grace wherein you stand and wherein you will be saved. Let nothing separate you from the love of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, let's just back up to the beginning of the chapter there. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And you know, I love it. He is a father to us, and we are His children. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the everlasting from the beginning. He is the creator of all things. And He adopts us as His own children. But He loves us too much to let us wallow in the mire. Oh, He wants to clean us up and He wants to train us properly. He wants to teach us obedience so that our life will be the best that it can possibly be. That's what obedience to our Heavenly Father brings to us. Life never gets better than when we're walking in obedience to our Heavenly Father, to His word, to His law. And add to that, we're doing it because we desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And that's how we know that we're in His kingdom. Dear children, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named once among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, pay attention now, you don't want to miss it, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. And we spent quite a bit of time in the last segment talking about a lot of these things, and there's a lot more. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. If He convicts you of something, do something about it. Don't justify it to Him. You know, people talk about the unforgivable sin that the blasphemers, those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Well, I've considered that. Blasphemers of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the job of the Holy Ghost is to convict us of sin. The unbelievers, convict them of sin. Now, the scripture also says that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. There's only one prayer of the wicked that our Heavenly Father is going to hear, and that's a prayer of repentance. Forgive me! I see my sin. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does in the world. It convicts of sin. It's looking for those that will turn to God and say, forgive me, and then allow the Holy Ghost to continue to work in their lives, convicting them of this sin and helping them in this area, helping to write God's law upon your heart to bring you in agreement with Him so that by faith the works will follow. By faith, His law being written upon your heart will teach you obedience. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. Allow Him. Do not blaspheme His Holy Spirit. Now, there are many pretenders out there who go to church and they pretend to be Christians, but they don't allow the Holy Spirit to clean their lives up. Oh, they hate the law of God. It was nailed to the cross. Well, if you believe that, what's the Holy Ghost? You know, the part where He said, I will write my law upon their minds and in their hearts. How does that work without the Holy Ghost? How does that work if you hate His law and you even brag about breaking it? To show your faith, of course. I'm so faithful. Yes, I have faith. You have to keep the law because you don't have faith. No, you got it backwards, pal. You know, I keep the law because I have faith that God's word is true and holy and just and good, and that His law is holy and just and good. And I believe that. That's why I desire to have Him write His law upon my heart, that I might not sin against Him. If that isn't faith, I don't know what faith is then. If faith is breaking the law and bragging about it, then I don't want your kind of faith. I'm sorry, because I'd have to reject the Holy Ghost teaching me obedience by writing His law upon my heart. If His law isn't being written in my mind and in my heart, what am I going to be obedient to? I will be lawless, like you. Cross the border into His kingdom. His kingdom has a king, and the king has laws. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Another thing He said, now I'd like to hear some of these preachers explain this one to me. He said, whoever breaks the least commandments and teaches men so shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Explain that one to me. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with them. Yeah, don't take part. They want to brag about the sin, how they can break God's law because they have grace and they have faith and you're weak. Yes. So, be not ye therefore partakers with them, the children of disobedience. For you are sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, who gets to decide what is acceptable unto the Lord? Is that up to me? Is that up to you? Is that up to the corporate preacher down there at the church? Is that up to the televangelist pastor? What is right and acceptable? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, I think that maybe what is acceptable unto the Lord is up to Him, is up to the Lord. Not up to me, not up to a corporate pastor, not up to some faulty doctrine that says the law was nailed to the cross. It contradicts Jesus, doesn't it? In His own words, the Messiah's words. When He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Not everyone who says, Lord, calls me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what's the will of the Father who is in heaven? Well, He gave us His word. Maybe we should study it and find out what is His will. Instead of just saying, we don't have to do that. That heavy burden, that was for them Jews way back then. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Yeah, thank God I don't see what's done of them in secret. And I don't even want a window to what's done of them in secret. And yes, we have it. It's on the computer now. Man, just run. Like Jesus said, pluck out your eye and cast it from you. You know, if you can't go on a computer without peering into those secret places of wickedness. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Yes, let everything. If you got to hide to do anything, then it's not in the light. Let everything you do be out in the open, that there's be nothing to be ashamed of. You know, when you're, yes, fathers, children, sons, daughters, when you're on that computer, make sure that screen is facing out where everyone can see what's on it all the time. And you parents, when you don't let your children have a computer in the room where they can hide, you put that computer in a public place in the household where everyone can see. And you explain why you're doing it. Yes, explain why you're doing it. Explain to them why you need to even do it. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to what you're doing. Listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Listen to the things that you're putting into your mind. What are the words of the music? Do you listen to the idolatry of romance music? Oh, get it on, baby, and all that stuff, and, you know, fornication and adultery all day long on the radio? Do you bebop to that kind of crapola? Yes, walk circumspectly. And you know what circumspectly means? Well, you know, circumspectly means having your eyes completely open, knowing what the effects of the things that you are doing are on your whole life, circumspectly, getting the big picture and seeing how not only does what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're watching, what you're allowing to pollute your mind, seeing how it affects you and your family and your witness and your community and your nation. That's what it means to walk circumspectly, not as fools. See, the fools out there, they just go out there. Just do it. They said I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to go down and sign up for the socialist programs. Yes. They told me I have to do this. I'm going to just send my children off to the pagan idolatry temples there so they can be public schooled with all the other good little pagans, and my daughters and my sons can turn into sluts and whoremongers. You ain't got the big picture. Is your job worth that much, to sell the souls of your children and your own soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul and loses his children and his grandchildren after him? Oh, yes, they'll all be in hell with you and you won't enjoy their company. Nobody will be enjoying themselves forever, walking as fools. If it tastes good, eat it. Oh, the FDA is going to look out for me. That's right. I can eat whatever I want. Yeah. I had bacon this morning. They don't bother me. I have faith. You guys that don't eat pork, you're weak. Yes, I hear stuff like this, man. Fools! See then you walk circumspectly. You know, look for the foods which God created to be received, which he set apart by his word. That's what it says. Sanctified by the word of God. Set apart. Those are the foods which he created to be received with thanksgiving by those that know the truth. Pretty much quoting scripture there when he's talking about diet. Circumspectly. Realizing that God gave us the dietary laws for our own good, for our own health, so that we could be healthy and vibrant and work in his kingdom without having our flesh destroyed because we're walking around like fools with our eyes closed, singing the little jingles that they put on the television set so that we can eat the poison that will destroy our flesh. Walk circumspectly and not as fools. Pay attention. What are you allowing into your house on the television, in the music, in the radio, and the people? What do you worship at the altar of man's achievements in sports? I mean, I'll tell you what, when I see these guys running in tights down a field after a pigskin ball, you know, it looks like the same last million games that they had. just men in tights chasing a pigskin. You know, what is special about that? Oh, but it's this guy or that guy, and now we're idolizing men? All of them are going to end up in the grave, and all of their accomplishment is temporary gain. You worship them, they get rich. Very good. Walk circumspectly and not as fools, but as wise. Yeah, circumspectly. If you walk circumspectly, get the big picture. You know, step outside yourself. Listen to the words coming out of your mouth. Listen to the words going into your ears. Judge them according to truth. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what the will of the Lord is? How do we, you know, Paul was writing this to the Ephesians, and the Ephesians were getting this letter, this epistle from him. What did they have to understand what the will of the Lord is? What did those Bereans search day and night to see if it was true? Well, they had the Word of God. What Word of God did they have? The only Word of God they had was the Law and the Prophets. You think you could understand what the will of the Lord is from the Law and the Prophets? You bet you could. They all pointed to Christ. And now we have more even. But they're everything in the New Testament verifies the law of God. There's nothing that casts it down. As a matter of fact, it raises the standard. See, the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery. He raised the standard. Oh, does that mean that you just can't look at a woman to lust after her, but you can actually commit adultery now? See, that's ridiculous, saying the law is nailed to the cross. No, he raised the standard. He got to the spirit of the matter. But let me tell you something, okay? There's the man who looks on a woman to lust after her, but he doesn't go any further. And then there's the man who actually looks on a woman to lust after her, and then he goes and seduces that woman and commits adultery with her. Now, who's going to suffer more in their flesh? The man who wanted to do it but didn't? Or the man who actually did it? See, there's still degrees of sin. He raised the standard, yes, but he didn't make them equal, because even the Messiah himself explained that there are degrees of punishment for sin, that there are greater sins and lesser sins. So a lesser sin is lusting after. The greater sin is actually going and doing it, but we're to avoid both. He raised the standard to keep us from lusting after, because he says then it's a spiritual adultery. Oh, we're running out of time. We're going to take a break here for the news, so a brief musical interlude. I hope you'll enjoy that and come back after the news. You're listening to Cross the Border.